You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Alex. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, we appreciate you joining us. Hit that subscribe button. Stay tuned for the daily recaps and previews. Yes, it's that time again. The football season is not only back, but the regular season specifically is making its return. NFL is starting basically after you already listened, it's already started. We are recording this Thursday evening around 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time before the 8:20-ish start of the Rams versus Bills game. Super excited to get into that. We will do that in our NFL picks, which is returning for another year. This time, we're actually starting it on time of week one. This podcast, Alex, now going into its third NFL season. Pretty exciting stuff. Crazy, honestly. But yes, we do NFL picks. If you don't know, if this is your first time listening in season, again, we appreciate you joining us. If you're an existing listener and you've been listening for the past two seasons before this, that's wonderful as well. Thank you. We do NFL picks. We did them in the 2020-2021 season. The 21-22 season, maybe started week four because we kind of forgot and we did it then. And then we're doing it again this season. If you don't remember, I will update you. We keep all of the records throughout the weeks. It's basically just the winner or loss, whoever we do a game, right? So if it's like Rams Bills, Alex predicts Rams, I predict Bills, whatever it is. That's just I'm just throwing the two teams out there. Okay, if the Rams won, Alex would be 1-0, I'd be 0-1. We tally all those records every single week, and then at the end we tally all the records, see who won. I won the 2 years ago, Alex won last year, so it's 1-1. So whoever wins this year kind of takes the lead in that, so take that as you will. But remember, so the Giant Take, a New York Giants podcast. That's what we're really here for. Giants versus Titans preview week one. First week with the Joe Shane, Brian Daboll era. Super exciting stuff. I've been doing a long intro. Alex, I'm about to lose my breath here. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's so good to be back with Giants football, NFL football, which I'm excited to watch tonight. I don't know if Josh is. I'm sure he probably is. Watching some Thursday night football tonight will be a good game, hopefully, with the Bills and the Rams. Obviously, reigning Super Bowl champions and reigning, you know, if the coin toss went their way, Super Bowl champions, if that was how it went down last season. But super excited for that, and obviously super excited for Giants football. It may not be pretty this year, but I'm excited to see the progression. I'm excited to see how this team shapes up with new management, new coaching. I'm just excited to see everything. And I think we start with a relatively manageable game. And I think they're better than us, don't get me wrong, but I think this isn't an unwinnable game. I think there's a couple things that make it really, really tough. We'll get to that later in terms of injuries and players we may be missing out on. But overall, I think the Titans, just a quick scouting overview of them, I guess. You're looking at a team with, a much weaker offensive line, a potentially less explosive Derrick Henry, a weaker wide receiver core without A.J. Brown, with Robert Woods, who did just come back from an ACL injury, Treylon Burks, who's still getting his footing in the NFL. So I think if you are going to play the Titans, this is the time to play them. Defensively, nothing too crazy in terms of additions or losses, but I think overall they're a pretty average unit, maybe a little bit above average, similar to the Giants. So I think this is certainly a game where if the Giants offense can produce, there's a chance they win this game. I'm not predicting it. We'll get to our predictions later, but I think this game is not as out of the realm of possibility of winning as some fans may expect, at least in my opinion. But before we get to really talking about the game, let's talk about this, some things that have happened throughout the week. It's been a pretty busy week, despite it being the lead up here to the season. And I guess we'll start with something minor. So basically, the Hard Knocks star that we talked about in the last episode, Khalil Pimpleton from Detroit Lions before he moved on, he is going to be signing with the Giants practice squad, which we talked about a little bit last episode. He was on that tryout and he was officially signed. So could he be called up to the 53 for this weekend's game? Who knows? Depends on injuries, etc. But the big thing here that happened, Blake Martinez was cut by the New York Giants. We were looking at it right when it initially happened. It looked like it was going to be about $3 million in savings. It doesn't appear like that was what actually happened. Obviously, we released like a YouTube video reaction to it right away, and we said that it looks like it's more like $175,000. So the Giants really just ate a ton of money and didn't free up much cap space. So, as much as we kind of hypothesized that, maybe it's the cap space, they're trying to free up cap space. No, didn't really look like that. It looks like it's more of some sort of fallout, something that happened behind the scenes. Brian Daboll didn't really elaborate in his press conference. Do I think it's the right move? No, but I think there's something deeper going on here that we're just never really going to know about, or at least not know about for quite a while, about why Blake Martinez was cut and removed from this team, which, doesn't have too much depth in the inside linebacker position. You're looking at guys like Tay Crowder, Micah McFadden, Austin Calitro. None of them are world beaters. None of them have the experience that Blake Martinez brings to this Giants defense. I don't think this was a great move. I think there must have been something that happened behind the scenes, because it just doesn't make sense financially. It doesn't make sense team building wise, depth wise. There had to be something outside of football that happened.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, of course, like, the Blake Martinez news comes out the day of or after whatever it was. It was really recent, and we were like, do we record an episode? Because we just recorded one, and we just waited, and now, like, the news kind of already happened, so we're just kind of reviewing it. But, yeah, Blake Martinez, Alex, I agree with you, where there had to be something. We don't know. Blake Martinez won't say anything. The Giants won't say anything. And I think we'll have to wait until Blake Martinez goes on, like, a podcast in the offseason next year, and then maybe he'll talk about it or something like that. He'll expose the story. I think it'll come out eventually. We just don't know right now why it happens, especially because they bring in Tyree Phillips, but he's an offensive lineman that isn't the same quality of a player, even though he's at a different position as Blake Martinez. And I guess Austin Calitro sort of takes the place of Martinez, like, on the roster wise, but not actually depth chart wise. He's not going to be the first string. He might start though, Calitro. He might have to, but leaves the linebackers, especially our middle linebackers, spot pretty thin. But yes, let's keep on going with the news here, because like everyone knows really if you're a Giants fan about Blake Martinez. Offensive lineman Tyree Phillips was signed off the waivers in replacement of Martinez, 25 years old, started 13 games for the Baltimore Ravens over his first two seasons with the team. We also have roster moves on the practice squad, a lot of them. This was from Dan Solomon, the Giants. This is also probably a while ago. Defensive back Harrison Hand was released from the practice squad, as well as Sandro Platzgummer was waived. And then they brought in, the Giants did, defensive back Fabian Moreau, practice squad signing. Moreau is 28. He was a third round pick by Washington in 2017, spent 4 years in Washington and played last season for the Atlanta Falcons. A full-time starter for the first time last season, started all 16 games where he played, He had a career high in snaps, pass defended with 11, and tackled 61. Moreau compiled a less than ideal 115.1 passer rating against. He's 204 pounds, has played 2,756 defensive snaps over 5 seasons in 76 games, but 34 starts. That's a lot of numbers I just threw at you. Primarily been an outside cornerback, but has played 827 snaps, which is about 30% in the slot. And that is some, I don't think there's any more. There might be some more practice squad news. There is not more practice squad news, which we'll get into later. I'm just going to keep moving.
Can't get enough of the practice squad, man. Can't get enough of it. Super exciting.
Mike Kafka is going to call plays for the New York Giants on offense on Sunday. So Brian Daboll basically saying they're continuing what they've done in the offseason. It really seems like now, since Kafka is calling plays, that he wouldn't have left Kansas City for an offensive coordinator job unless he was calling plays, and that's probably why he came to the Giants. I think it's a good thing, Alex. I mean, it's definitely, I think it's going to be a little bit different play style wise, as we know from training camp and preseason, than our old offensive coordinator friend, play caller Jason Garrett. I'll tell you that much. He was definitely bland when it came to the playbook. And then Joe Judge, you know, managing on the sideline with the timeouts and stuff. I think Brian Daboll will do a little better at that. So the combination with Mike Kafka on offense mixed, calling plays mixed with Brian Daboll on offense, you know, making the decisions. It's exciting because it's actually like a good coaching staff, at least for right now, we think, right? We'll see what happens at the end of the season. I want to ask you, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not. Where do you think Kafka is going to be calling plays? Up in the booth or on the sideline?
In the booth.
Okay.
I just have a feeling because Dable did, so it would make sense that Kafka will.
All right. So then let's see if Mike Kafka does that on Sunday, if they pan up to the booth on the broadcast and show him there. We're going to keep going here. Outside linebacker Kayvon Thibodeau, knee injury, and Aziz Ojulari with a calf injury day to day per Brian Daboll. That was from Jordan Ron on this Monday. And we have injury report updates on them from Thursday's practice. As again, we're recording this Thursday night. Alex, I went through a bunch of news here. Do you want to take over and keep going with the news as we move up to our, you know, we'll get eventually to back to the game.
Yeah, with Thibodeau and Ojulari, it seems like, we'll get to it in a minute, like you said, but it seems like that day-to-day tag is still on because we still don't really know, even as of recording today.
That they're supposedly very far from playing, though. I mean, day-to-day injury-wise, but playing on Sunday, I think both of them, you can wait until week two to get Ojulari and Thibodeau back. But from what they've been doing on the side in practice, from what we've been hearing from reporters, is that they are a long way from playing.
Yeah, on not Sunday. Even running. Yeah. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see what they do there. I think it's pretty obvious, like you said, at this point, but we'll have to wait and see. In terms of some cap moves, the Giants have converted $17.8 million of Leonard Williams's base salary into signing bonus while adding a void year, creating $11.9 million in cap space for this year. This was obviously known that they would have to restructure someone. Out of all people, it made sense it would be Leonard Williams. You wouldn't want to restructure Kenny Golladay and keep him along any longer. And that, you know, you probably can't really restructure Adoree Jackson anymore after all the restructures that we already did for his contract. So it had to be Leonard Williams. I believe it upped his cap hit next year to about $32 million, which is, I believe, the fourth highest paid in the NFL. And I believe the highest non-quarterback price tag in the NFL. So pretty, you know, thanks Dave Gettleman for that one. And also it creates a void year in 2024, meaning that we can't get out of his contract next year. Realistically, he will be on the Giants in 2023. And you'd probably end up cutting him in 2024 when you would only get a $4 million dead cap hit. So Leonard Williams not only will be doing this pay, it's not really a pay cut, this signing bonus transition, but he will be staying now on the Giants for another year unless something crazy happens. because it just doesn't make financial sense to do anything otherwise. But yeah, that's pretty much it on that. Everyone knew it was coming, and it finally came this week. And practice squad, more practice squad. The Giants signed wide receiver Marcus Johnson to the practice squad. They released CJ Board. Johnson has played in 41 career games. He had 51 receptions for 839 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was on the Eagles, on the Colts, and on the Titans in his, you know, few-year-old playing career at the age of 28. Darius Slayton was then excused on Tuesday, which was similar to Blake Martinez, where he was excused before he got cut. So people were like, ooh, is he about to get cut or is he about to get traded? But no, he actually took a pay cut. He dropped his salary from $2.5 million to the league minimum with incentives that could bring him back up to a higher price tag. Mike Garofolo confirmed Wednesday of this situation, and it saves the Giants about a little over $1.5 million in salary cap space. I think this is a great move for the Giants. I'm honestly a little bit surprised that Darius Slayton took this. You know, he's losing over $1.5 million by doing this, but hey, I'm happy as a Giants fan. And hopefully Slayton can prove why he deserves to be on this team. And, you know, gives us some much needed depth, gives us a guy who can beat corners and safeties over the top.
Alex, I mean, you went past Darius Slayton. You went past CJ Board. CJ Board's been on the Giants for a couple years, didn't make the 53-man roster, gets cut from the practice squad, and you just go right by him like he's worth nothing to you. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Like I thought you were just going to at least make like a comment like, you know, sucks to see CJ Board. Nope. Just, all right, next piece of news, Darius Slayton. Like, wow.
Sorry, CJ.
It's kind of rude, man. I don't know about that. But anyway, I'll keep going from here. I'll take the lead and say outside line. Oh, did we already talk about this? I mean, outside linebackers Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari did some individual drills. Again, they weren't really running that much, as Alex mentioned earlier. Sterling Shepard, this is cool, fully plans on playing in the opener versus Tennessee. Quote, ready to go, he told ESPN. Shepard returning to practice just 2 weeks ago. He'll be back in game action less than 9 months after tearing his Achilles. His personal goal this year is to play all 17 games.
Hell of a goal.
Sterling, it's a big goal.
Let's get to like you. 12 first, and then we can talk.
Get to 12. Let's get to 5, Alex. Let's be realistic here. Sterling Shepard, his entire career that spans at least over 5 years, I think, of football, has had at least one injury per year that I can remember. He wants to play all 17 games. That's a big-ass freaking personal goal.
Hey, he can do it. I believe in him.
We'll see what happens. So the first unofficial injury report came out yesterday, Wednesday. Four players listed as limited being Kayvon Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari, Sterling Shepard, and Dane Belton. But remember, Shepard said he's going to play. I mean, we'll have to see what the coaches say, but he said he's going to play. Thibodeau and Ojulari are long shots, and then Dane Belton, I would say, is also probably a long shot, yeah. Alex. I mean, I don't know what you think.
He was still in a red jersey at practice, so yeah, I'd say so.
So everyone on the 53-man roster practice in some capacity. And then today, there was no practice. Today meaning Thursday. Will they practice tomorrow, you think?
Yes.
I guess so.
Yeah, Friday practice, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll practice tomorrow, but they were off today. So the injury report doesn't change at all. So it's just, it was the same thing today. So all limited for Belton, Ojulari, Shepard, and Thibodeau. So there you go. And that is basically all we got news-wise. We've gotten through it all when it comes to news before the Giants versus Titans game. Alex, before we do our predictions to the game, then we'll do our NFL picks to end it. Do we do three players to watch? I feel like we used to do that, right? Or it would be my 3 points in 2 seasons ago. Then when I was like, oh, we'll do it next season. I remember it was going to be that episode. Literally, I was probably the most heartbroken I've ever been. You literally said to me, straight to my face, you were like, Josh, I'm not going to lie, I hated your 3 points.
Oh, I hated them.
That sucked. And that was extremely rude.
Say they sucked. I just said I hated them.
Right. There was that. So then I think, did we ever change it and do three players we were looking
for? I believe what we did is we did one player on the opposing team that we think we should watch, One player on our team that's going to be a key to winning the game or something like that, I believe is what we did last season. But we can change it up if you want. This is a new season. I'm willing to do whatever. I'm good to do the same format, but whatever you want to do.
Yeah, we can do the same format because I feel like if I said let's pick three players on our team, you would be like, that's stupid because that's just the person you are. So let's do one player on the opposing team to look out for and one player on the New York Giants to look out for, and I'll type them down here. I think we have to both agree, right, that it's going to be Derrick Henry for the Titans?
No, I'm going to go with someone else.
Okay.
I'm going to be to look out for. I'm going to look out at this guy. I think he's going to be the key to the game this weekend against the Giants. So this is who I'm watching very carefully to see how he does. And he could be the make or break for this Giants team. Nicholas Petit-Fryer, rookie offensive tackle out of Ohio State, third round pick. Is he going to be able, is he that weak link that the Giants can expose possibly to get some pressure here with no Azeez Ojulari probably, with no Kayvon Thibodeaux probably? You're looking at O'Shane Zimenez, Tomon Fox, Jahad Ward. Could it be that this guy is maybe not like a guy to look out for negatively on the Giants, but a guy to look out for positively? Could he get those rookie jitters? Is he going to be that big weakness on their offensive line? There are other tackle. Taylor Lewan obviously is much more of a veteran. So could Petit-Fryer be that weak link that the Giants could possibly expose on defense? Is that something that Wink Martindale is looking into?
Alex, you completely changed the dynamics of this, and now you're just rooting for someone's downfall, which, I mean, I guess reversing them, so it's like, oh, football, yeah, let's
I'm not rooting for his downfall. I'm just saying he is the player to watch in terms of the Giants being able
to watch, hopefully, fail.
I'm not, well, yeah, obviously, we want the whole team to fail when we're
them. But normally we do the player to watch. We're saying watch them because they're really good.
No, I get it, right? But I'm switching it up here. I think this is good. I'm not saying you have to do it either way. I'm just switching it up here.
All right, got to switch it up. So I will then talk about my Giants player to watch now. And I'm going to pick someone that I would like to see. I'm doing running back on both sides. I'm doing basic on both sides. Sometimes in these, we do like the underground player you're not going to really think of. I'm going super basic. It's week one. I want to see these guys get off the ground running. And I want to see this player specifically. Alex, you know who it is. Listeners, you know who it is. Saquon Barkley, our running back, the New York Giants first string guy. He's going to be relied on a lot, by this offense. All we've been hearing, Alex, is nonstop, this playbook favors Saquon Barkley. The Giants are going to use Saquon Barkley. Mike Kafka, Brian Dable want to use Saquon Barkley and run. They want to line him up on the outside. They want to have him be a running back. They want him to run a lot of plays. They want him to be involved all season. So let's see it from day one, week one, play one, series one. Saquon Barkley, my player to watch for the New York Giants. I really hope he performs. I want to see him get a touchdown. I want to see him get 100 yards. I know I'm really going crazy about Saquon Barkley here, but it's true because he is our second pick in that 2017 draft, right?
18, and I believe.
18 draft, and I want to see it on the field. Saquon Barkley, player to watch, New York Giants.
My player to watch, Wandale Robinson. I'm excited to see what he can do. Didn't see much in preseason. Keep hearing about how great he was in training camp. To be honest, when we went to training camp for those few days, didn't really see much of Wandale Robinson. And then obviously in the preseason game. So with my own eyes, I haven't seen that burst, that flash that we've heard about from the beat reporters about Wandale Robinson. I want to see it with my own eyes. Is it the truth? Is he going to be the truth in a real game? Excited to see what he can do. See where he's used now that the playbook is wide open, now that we're in the regular season. Certainly exciting. Wandale Robinson, going to be keeping an eye on him.
All right, it's time for those score predictions. I'll start it off, and I'm going to talk about, I think it's going to be, I have a low scoring game, not super low scoring, but I think it's more going to be a bad offensive game than a good defensive game, and that's how I think these teams don't get their points. I don't think it's offense making big stops. I don't think it's defense making big stops. I think it's offense just failing to score touchdowns. And that is why I have the final score 20-13 towards the Titans. I think the Titans pull this one off just barely, but I do think they win by a touchdown margin. 20-13, my score prediction for this game.
I think this Giants offense is going to be better. I think they're going to put up more points. That being said, I don't think they're going to put up enough points. I have the Titans winning 27-23. I think it's going to be close, but I do think the Titans are just a better football team than the Giants right now, and that's the sad truth of things. So I have the Titans winning, but a little bit of a closer scoreline, so I'm being a little bit more positive than Josh there. But certainly, hopefully we're both wrong, right? That's that's the thing about these predictions. I would love to look like a complete idiot and the Giants win 30-3. So let's hope that happens, but don't really think it's super realistic. Now we have our NFL picks.
I just realized, Alex, if you remember, our correct format would be we do the picks first and then we do our score prediction. So we'll just have to remember that for future weeks.
Yeah, all good. What I would say is I've come to a New Year resolution for the picks, okay? I am going to stop talking so much about each game.
Really?
I'm going to try, okay? I'm sorry. I don't know when it came up, but I was thinking about it today. I was like, when we do the picks later, I need to stop talking about every single game. You know,
I'm excited to see
this. So I'm going to go through fluidly. I'm not going to say a lot of things about each game. As much as my heart wants to say things, I'm going to try to stay silent. So anyway, let's get into it.
Ooh, and you're starting too. You're completely going new season, new revolution. Normally it's I do Sunday or Thursday night through the 1 o'clock Sunday slate.
Now we're switching it up. We're switching it up. So Bills, Rams, I have the Bills. Josh has the Rams. Oh, I really want to say something. Eagles, Lions.
You already know the results of that game, by the way. Again, we're recording this before the game, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, so it's just saying. All right, I don't know what to say there. Eagles, Lions. I have the Eagles. Hopefully Josh is right here, and he has the Lions. 49ers, Bears. I have the 49ers. Josh, for some weird reason, has the Bears. He's insane. Of course, I'm going to look stupid next week. Bengals and Steelers. We both have the Bengals. Dolphins, Patriots. I have the Dolphins. Josh also has the Dolphins. Browns, Panthers. Josh, for again, some weird reason, has the Panthers, and I have the Browns. Colts, Texans. We both have the Colts. Saints, Falcons. We both have the Saints. Ravens, Jets. We both have the Ravens. Commanders, Jaguars. We both have Commanders. And that is it for me before Josh moves on to the 4 o'clocks.
Yeah, so Alex, I really wanted to just throw it all out there this week because a bunch of players have gone to a bunch of different teams this offseason, so it's really just throw it all out there for week one. If I go crazy and I get a bunch wrong, I get a bunch wrong, but I think I just want to have fun. I want to mix it up.
There's no fun in this, Josh. You're not allowed to have fun.
Well, you know what? I am going to have fun. And by week five, Alex, when all of our picks are exactly the same because we're both super competitive and we want to win and we know what good teams are good and what teams are bad, this is what's so fun about week one, Alex. There might be teams that have really bad roster-wise, like their roster sucks.
Yeah.
Then they come out and they do amazing on the field. So this is why week one is so great because you have no idea how teams are going to look. That's why I'm going crazy here. All right. Packers, Vikings to start the 4 o'clock window. Alex is the Packers. I have the Vikings. Raiders, Chargers. We both have the Chargers winning that one. Chiefs, Cardinals. It's going to be a good game. Chiefs, Alex, winner. Cardinals, my winner. Buccaneers versus the Dallas Cowboys. Hopefully this actually happens in real life. I don't know what's going off the field with Tom Brady and Giselle. Just figure something out, Brady, on the field and beat the goddamn Cowboys. We both have the Bucks winning that one. And then Broncos, Seahawks, finally. Broncos winning that one. And if you remember, now we reverse roles. Now I'm talking about games. This is the Russell Wilson comeback story over here. Broncos country, let's ride as he switches teams from the Seahawks to the Broncos. So Russell Wilson battle there. But Alex, of course, has Russell Wilson winning no matter which team he's on because he's a Russell Wilson fanboy. So we got that in there. And now, actually, before we close out, we still have some more Giants stuff. I just want to go over the we don't need to go over the roster again.
No, Alex, right?
Just the practice squad because we talked about a few moves that happened. There's 16 guys on there, and there was actually one move today, so that's why we wanted to go through it. It's going in order of offense and defense. Quarterback Davis Webb, offensive lineman Will Holden, offensive tackle Roy Mbatika comes back as the guard Wyatt Davis goes to the Saints active roster. Offensive lineman Max Garcia, running back Deshaun Corbin, wide receiver Marcus Johnson, wide receiver / kick returner Khalil Pimpleton, tight end Austin Allen, defensive linemen include Ryder Anderson and Henry Mondo, I think, outside linebacker, outside linebackers, Quincy Roche and Chuck Wiley. Cornerbacks are Zion Gilbert and Fabian Moreau, and then the two safeties, Tony Jefferson and Trenton Thompson. All right, Alex, we did it. The first preview basically in the books here. Super exciting stuff. We are excited to watch the game on Sunday. A few things you can do to help us out. I said it earlier, but please subscribe, drop 5 stars. You can listen to our podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. More places are going to be found on chippinstudios.com/thegiantake. We are on basically every social media, including Twitter and TikTok at The Giant Take Pod, Facebook and Instagram, The Giant Take Podcast, Alex on Twitter at Anorian23. I'm on Twitter at JoshSolo29. And if you want to find out all that info that I just said because you weren't listening or I talked too fast, it's going to be in the podcast notes. So, Alex, take it away.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the first Giant Take preview of the 2022 NFL season. Super excited. We'll have a recap out after the game. Super excited. Hopefully after a Giants win, though. Hopefully it won't be after a loss. Let's really hope it's not after a loss. But thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.